Hello and welcome to German Suplex with me, Dieter Wiegner. Now today on the show, we're going to be reviewing AEW Grand Slam. And yes, we're going to talk about the Dream Match. Hello, welcome to the show, welcome to episode 3. Thank you all for tuning in to German Suplex with me, Dieter Wiegner. And just as I said in the intro, we're going to spend today reviewing AEW Grand Slam. Now, what a show. When you're going into this, if you just done my preview show, that I was super excited for this. And boy, did it deliver. And I definitely did not think that they'd put our dream match on first. Now, if you are a What Culture Wrestling fan, you'll have heard Michael Hamflett say that on the preview show, that he thinks they're going to put it as the opener. And I remember listening to that thinking, they're not going to do it. Turns out he was 100% right. And I've just been conditioned to believe that we have to do things in a certain way in wrestling. But TK doesn't do things how they're supposed to, just things how they should be done. And that's what we got here. The fever pitch that the crowd had going in straight away. You could just feel it. Arthur Ashe, 20,000 strong. Just the atmosphere before anything had even happened. As soon as we'd gone live, the audience knew we were live. You could feel it. You could feel it in the air. They wanted it, and boy, they got it. That dream match between Kenny Omega and the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson, opened the show. Non-title match, but that doesn't matter. Before I get into this, it's going to be hard for me to articulate just how much I enjoyed this now. At time of recording, I've only watched it once. I watched some of the spots again, which we'll get into, but just incredible. Like, we all knew it was going to be good, but for those two to tangle up for the first time on TV and put on this performance was just wild. It was just wild to see. So we get them, they come out, we get huge ovations for pretty much both of them. They're both beloved. Kenny Omega is a great heel, but everyone still loves him. Bryan Danielson, I mean, who doesn't love Bryan Danielson at this moment in time? I mean, he's always been loved. He's a hero in the wrestling world. Then they get into the ring. They're both in there. And the bell goes. And this sets the scene for me. They both take their time with it. They absorb the crowd. They take it all in. They know this is a big moment. They let everyone there know it's a big moment. And the pop for a collar and elbow tie-up that I've not heard in years. I don't know if there's been allowed a pop for a collar and elbow tie-up at the start of a match. To that degree, anyway, was just outstanding. And that was just them starting off. They got a collar and elbow tie-up. The crowd's going wild for a tie-up. What world are we living in? It's fantastic. White hot crowd. I don't think that even does it justice. Going to need some elocution lessons just to get that point across of how loud the crowd was. And just watching it unfold from there, we see them do what we knew they were going to do. There was going to be that back and forth, that kind of like for like. We've got Kenny Omega going in with the chops. We've got Bryan Danielson replying with his kicks. And the way they paced this match was just masterful. The way they timed it for TV was great. You see that build up. You see the like for like. They're taking the time. There's no rushing with this. They build it up and they're building it up. And when we get to that bit on the ramp where Kenny's taking the yes kicks, we'll keep calling them the yes kicks for now, on the ramp. And then when he reverses, he blocks the kick and has the snapdragon suplex on that ramp. And you're just like, oh, my goodness. And Danielson's selling. So good at selling. I can't put over how good he is at that. Looks like he's in another planet, and he makes you believe, you know, he's got all these neck issues and these concussion issues, and he makes you believe that Kenny is potentially really hurting here, and you believe it. And that set up to the spot that, if you've watched it, you know exactly what's coming, where he has him against the ropes, and Kenny walks up that ramp, Danielson's against the ropes, he walks up that ramp, and he stood at the top of that ramp. And I'm nervous. Like, we know what's coming. We know what he wants to do. I'm looking at that ramp thinking, geez, that's steep, slippery. please don't fall over. So he runs and he jumps and he clears half the ramp and just nails Danielson in the side of the head, right on the neck and the head. And that's where we go to commercial break. And it's just a thing of pure wonder. Like, no one's not coming back. They got a picture in picture there. Brian Danielson looks like he's dead, for Christ's sake. Like, the way, the impact of that, just something to behold. Absolutely fantastic spot. One of my favorite, like, V-triggers, if we're calling it that, the V-trigger, those knees, just outstanding by Kenny Omega. And Danielson selling as well of that brilliance. Pure brilliance. And the match continues. We come back from the break. They time that really nicely. And it just keeps building and building. And the audience is going and going with it. Now, this match, I mean, obviously, it's going to be spoilers in this. It's a review. It goes for 30 minutes. And as I was talking about that pacing, as we're building, it didn't feel like that at all. It did not feel like that. And as we're going through it, the crowd builds with it. And we get the cattle mutilation. The crowd goes wild. Like, everyone knows this is a move that he's not done for years. He's never done that in WWE. And to have the crowd on board for that submission, to have that lock in and just have that pop for something that fans haven't seen in a very, very long time, it again just shows that casual fandom's not a thing as it was. People know, people love to dive into this, love to dive into wrestling, love all the history that goes along with it, and the characters, and how they progress. And this for me, that pop of cattle mutilation proved it. Utterly proved that point of how much people are into this. And just into wrestling as a whole, and diving into the characters and the history of all of it. Fantastic. And we get that. And it just keeps building and building. And Kenny's laying it in thicker and thicker. Danielson's selling, again, better and better. By the end of this, you're thinking, is he gone? Like, is he really, really hurt? And we see some great spots following on from that. And we see the dragon suplex from the top rope, the move that Kenny's using, the Okada master. When people were looking at that in the past, thought maybe that should have finished off Okada because it's such a big move. And they use it here so effectively because it almost draws you in, starts getting you thinking about those finishes. Is he going to get it? He doesn't. It just keeps building and they're still going at it. And I think if you look online, there were some potential audio issues. Justin Roberts apparently was giving those time cues, but I don't know if it was just because I was watching the match and I was so into it that I didn't really hear them. Till we like kind of got right near the end when it was like a minute or so left. I didn't really hear those time cues as we have done in the past where they've used the time limit effectively in like the Cody and Darby matches where it was really loud and you could hear it. I couldn't hear it. I don't know if that was just me being so engrossed in what was happening in front and unfolding in front of my eyes and the masterpiece that was happening. And when we get to that time limit draw and we know we're near the end and it's time limit, it's done, the bell rings. And they don't just stop. There's none of this. They're still going for it. Daniel's going for the lapel lock. It's planting that seed. If there was a bit more time, would he have got in there? Obviously, we then get the Elite coming in and breaking it up and stopping it. Yes, what more can I say other than it's a masterpiece? Like, my words can't do it justice. Go and watch it. Enjoy all the spots. Enjoy the mastery construction of this match. The pacing, the timing, the selling, the delivery and execution of the moveset. And obviously the crowd, how much they're into it. You'll love this. I imagine you've watched this if you're listening to the show, but go watch it again. I know I'm definitely going to. So then we have the Elite come in and break it up. And I don't know if any of you noticed this, but it's the planting of the seeds that I spoke about, of Adam Cole getting that kind of final kick on Danielson as a point of, you're going to need me, Kenny. I'm better than you. I'm putting him away. You needed me there. So again, we get that seed planted. Beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff. Then obviously the good guys kind of come out and Christian and Jungle Boy building that towards that match on Rampage. They come out and save the day. And we see them kind of standing tall at the end of it. You might argue that's been done quite a lot, but I think we can forgive that for what is a fantastic match and plant seeds down the line and builds to more of this. So hopefully we're going to get more. I mean, we're going to. I know Kenny's tweeted out no rematch whatsoever, but we're definitely going to be getting more of this as time goes on. And I can't wait for that. I just can't. More of this. More of it into my veins. Let's go. More. Yes, please. I don't think we're going to get a match like that on television again for a long time that feels like that, the build to it, and then the execution. You've got to give Kenny and Danielson credit here as well. There was so much hype going into this match that it would be very easy for them to just not completely fall short, but when people's expectations are that high, to fall short slightly of people's expectations. But I feel like the general consensus, and I know for me, they kind of hit it bang on expectations and almost to a certain extent exceeded it. I'm sure when I go back and watch it, I'm going to notice some other little subtleties that I didn't pick up the first time around, which again just shows how well they've crafted this match. And I look forward to watching that again. So it's just fantastic. Go out of your way to watch it and enjoy it as many times as you can. And we'll get to see more of this down the line. I know people are now calling for Iron Man matches and such. I'm sure we'll get to see lots and lots more of this over the years. And I think this is going to be a feud that hopefully we get to see over many years to come. And to that standard, just wow. Unbelievable. Some of the best wrestling I've ever seen on TV. Thank you. Thank you, AEW. Keep it coming. Unbelievable stuff. And then, so how do we follow that? What do we follow that up with? So we follow that up with CM Punk. So when you're AEW and you've got all these huge stars now, let's get them all going. Let's get them out there. So CM Punk comes out and cuts a great promo. I know in the preview, I assumed he was going to be jumped down, but it was nice that he didn't. It was a nice sort of, they let him speak. Let him get a little bit angry. He comes out and he says, look, I know you all want the angry CM Punk. Be careful what you wish for. Planting seeds of potentially a heel turn many years down the line. I don't know if we'll ever get that, but he is fantastic as a heel. So if we ever did, great. But he's also saying it in a way to be careful what you wish for to Will Hobbs and Team Taz. And he gets a little bit angry. He gets a little bit pissed off about what they did. Don't be sleeping on me. You tried to put me through a table. You failed to put me through the table. You should have tried to break my neck. And that builds perfectly. And it's CM Punk. He's a master on that microphone. So they let him kind of go out and do his thing here. They don't follow up a dream match with another match. They follow it up with a fantastic world-class best ever, maybe, on the microphone CM Punk promo. And he does say, look, I know I keep smiling, but I can't help it when I come out here and I'm loving every minute. But again, like I said, he turns that around nicely and builds it into a little bit more anger, a little bit more of him being pissed off. And so that's what we get. We get him saying, I'm coming for you, basically, in a roundabout way. And I think it'll be nice to see that match on Rampage. Now, I know Rampage has been recorded already. And I try and stay away from spoilers when shows have been recorded. And if you don't want to know anything, stop listening for the next 30 seconds. But I have seen some pictures online and it looks like CM Punk is back in the trunks. I think he's listened. I know he put out a Twitter poll and he deleted it very quickly, asking if people liked his new gear. And it was a resounding no. I think we all struggle when people have new gear, but it was a bit jarring at first seeing CM Punk in the tights. So it looks like he's gone back to trunks, guys. And hopefully we'll get to see that on Friday on Rampage when he takes on Will Hobbs. It's a nice setup here. It served a purpose. And again, it's CM Punk on the microphone. What's not to love? He's world class. Anytime he's got a mic in his hand, I'm going to sit and listen. And I sat and listened and I enjoyed it and stopped sweating after the beautiful match before it. So CM Punk goes back. What do we get after that? So we get MJF. This is Brian Pillman Jr. And it is what I kind of said in the preview to this match. It serves that purpose of we had that great build. We kind of shone a light on Brian Pillman Jr. here. But I was worried that Brian Pillman Jr. is still a little bit green and his moveset somewhat restricted. And I don't want to put him down because he's a fantastic wrestler and he's still very, very young. And he'll only progress from here. And I think this is the point where you can see he's not quite ready for that MJF level and that sort of, not necessarily spotlight, but for the match they needed to do. I think the match went a little bit long for what the story they were telling, the purpose it was. They could have probably cut it down a little bit. But I think they did a good job overall, it just didn't quite deliver what I would have liked. I said we might see a little bit of that in the preview, and that is what we got. MJF wasn't the ring general we know he can be, and he has been in the past here. But they built it nicely. The crowd was really into it. Brian Pillman Jr. shows that what I do love about his style is the aggression behind it, and he was showing that he's almost over-aggressive here because of how much MJF has pissed him off. But MJF does a great job here of working on that arm, building up to his submission, getting that submission and getting the salt of the earth in. Brian Pillman Jr. does have to tap out in the end. We have a little things on the outside with Julia Hart, I think did a great job here of kind of running the, not necessarily interference, but the confusion angles and those sort of bits. I think she did a really good job. She served a nice purpose here. It didn't feel tacked on. It felt very natural. And I think that was good. And it just sets MJF for moving forward. Like I say, MJF for me is that star right now. He's absolutely world-class. I think here he wasn't that ring general, but it's going to set him down. And I think because he has been in that Chris Jericho feud for so long that he hasn't had those single matches to keep that iron hot. And in wrestling, you need that. You need those reps to keep fresh. You don't want to burn out, of course, but you do need those one-on-one matches to deliver world-class one-on-one matches. And where MJF is, I think he still kind of needs that in there to deliver the best that he can. We've seen it with the John Moxley matches, fantastic. Some of the early Chris Jericho matches, fantastic. Jungle Boy matches, fantastic. So he has that in him. And I think we'll get to see more of that now. I think we'll move on from this and he'll go on to something else. It'd be nice to see where we go from here. But served a purpose. And again, it just shows what MJF can bring in like a 2-3 week build for everyone to give a shit about this match. Because lesser promotions, lesser workers from both MJF and Brian Pillman, it would have felt very much like it could have been a nothing match, which it wasn't. The build was great. Match served its purpose. MJF moves on as the victor. Brian Pillman will have to lick his wounds on this one, but he'll come back stronger off the back of it, both as a performer and as the character as well, I feel. So yeah, then we kind of get Chris Jericho doing a bit of a build, bit of a nothing segment, in my opinion. Builds on, reminds us about Rampage on Friday, hypes up the crowd for when they get to the recording of Rampage as well. So then from there, we get Cody Rhodes versus Malakai Black. Now, before I even mention anything about this match, I did say going into this that there was a lot of people calling for Cody to turn. And I think most of those people were in the stadium because the boost Cody was getting was ruthless. I know we want to kind of see him turning, and you could have executed a huge double turn here. There was rumors of that. We didn't quite get it. But the crowd reaction for Cody, definite boos. Crowd reaction for Malakai, massive cheers. Everyone loves Malakai Black. So what do we get in terms of the match? We get Cody coming out, accompanied to the ring by Arn Anderson. And also we get Brandi Rhodes coming back as well. Nice touch her coming out of that. The heel tunnel there, they're still making sure that we know where she sort of sits on the heel spectrum. Comes down to the ring. We get them. Malakai Black's already sort of in the ring. It's already been done. He's there. He's ready to go. Obviously, beautiful entrance by Malakai Black. I don't want to skim over that. We all love his entrance. We know what it looks like now. I don't think I need to harp on about it this time around anyway. But what we'll say with Malakai Black here, that I absolutely loved. I love his style. And I love that he uses his Dutch kind of kickboxing style and his martial arts background. But some of his little sweeps and trips, for the uninitiated, might not fully appreciate those, but I really hope that he did, because they were beautifully executed. His little rolls, little Granby rolls into tying up those legs and getting the trip. And the way he keeps his head tight to Cody's leg and the knee to do the pass in, to get into the position he wants, or to move on to the next thing, was world-class, and it was delivered in a beautiful way. And I think that comes down to Cody as well. Cody's got a collegiate background, knows how to kind of take those things and go with the flow there. So this match for me was, I really, really enjoyed this match. I would have liked it even more if we had the full Cody Rhodes heel turn on it. And we saw glimpses of it. And I think by the end, we saw Cody was shoving the referee. We saw that building. We didn't necessarily see it building throughout the match like it could have done. like we almost expected it to do a bit. And there was almost that feeling in the air, I hope Cody doesn't win here because the crowd's not going to be into it. I feel like most of the AEW audience at home weren't really into it, Cody winning. Unfortunately, we didn't get that. We got a Malakai Black victory. We got Arn Anderson falling off the apron, which was awful, in all honesty. Felt for the guy. I don't think that was a work. I think he genuinely slipped because then he got back up to do the spot, causing a bit of distraction. Malakai Black with the Black Mist to put down Cody and win. So it's, again, a bit of a screwy finish in that sort of regards. But we got a victory for Malakai Black here. Now, Cody, again, if he wants to lean into heel stuff, can really ham up. And he can do it on the face side as well, but he can really ham up the way he lost that match. And I don't want people to start thinking as well that Malakai Black here is now going to become sort of even more mystical. I think they purposely showed him kind of lying under the ring, with his head under the ring, like he was reaching. Like you could almost imagine him pulling out a weapon, like a chair or something, from underneath the ring. And they showed you that shot. And they showed you that shot to make you think, what's he doing under there? What's he going to pull out? And then when he doesn't pull out anything, you're almost a bit like, oh, all right, what's happening there? But he's obviously getting a mist ready for down the line. He doesn't know when he's going to use it, but that's what we're showing you there. So it's not like, oh, he's magic and you can spit black mist. It's no, he's cerebral. He's thought about this. He's planted this here. He's then got that opportunity to get it in his mouth to cause, you know, the pain in the eyes to be able to deliver the black mass and take out Cody. So it's not the magical dark side. They purposely honed in on that moment so that we could see it and we could get it. And I hope that you kind of got that at home as well when you were watching it. And I really did enjoy this one. I thought it was really, really nice, really well done. I think they coped with the crowd stuff. I think they probably didn't realize it would be that way, and you could have really, really leaned into that double turn in this show. But they probably got plans for Malakai Black, and I think Cody, being Cody, probably wants to do a slower turn if he's going to turn. But we'll see how that goes. We'll see how that plays out on Dynamite and where he goes from here and what his progression is. And I think Malakai Black will just continue to run through people, hopefully, and just build this mystique of this monster that's Malakai as his face gets more and more dark with his face paint. See if he goes full face paint on it. Speaking of full face paint, the next match was Sting and Darby Allin against FTR. And I said going into this that I wasn't that hyped about this match. I wasn't that fussed about the build. Some nice stuff, little bits of nice stuff with the wiping off the face paint from FTR on Sting and Darby. But I wasn't hugely into the build, but I really, really enjoyed this match. I think FTR found their form. I mentioned in the preview that stuff quite hadn't hit home in some of their matches like they would have liked to. And I think this was a bit of a return to form for them. I really enjoyed it anyway. I loved FTR's attire here. I thought it was brilliant. And I just loved that it was the callback to the NWO and Sting's past and hating the NWO. Was nice. Commentary didn't really hit you over the head with it like they might have done in other promotions. So that was nice and that was well done. Whoever does their gear does a fantastic job, and they've had a few different attires that have had references to things in the past. Beautifully executed again here. Nice touch from them. And I also got another nice touch when Darby looked like he was going to start the match. The crowd were like, we want Sting. And we get Sting from the off. And Sting puts in an absolute effort in. He's in his 60s, puts in a beautiful effort. We do kind of get the build to that hot tag, that build up, that cutting off the ring. But we got more cutting off from both sides. Sting taking a bit of the punishment, more than I would have thought. It, going into this, I thought Darby was going to take all of it, still took the majority, take all of it, but building nicely, working through it, getting to that crescendo. Nice little spots here of FTR setting up their finisher, the spike pile driver, and Sting pushing off Cash Wheeler off the top, who clearly jumps miles away from getting his arm stuck, which was nice to see. He's still thinking about it, making sure he clears that area. And then Sting getting on the top rope and hitting that crossbody over Darby while he's down, like he's going to be pile driving. really nice stuff there. Having Darby do Darby stuff and do that coffin drop onto the outside, onto the side of the ring. Beautiful stuff. While we see Dax in the center of the ring being put into the Scorpion Death Drop, like we imagined, tapping out, and we move on. Again, really, really nice match. Much better than I thought it was going to be, but we moved on nicely. And I think, again, this only serves to build Darby here as that star that we all know that he is. And then we come on to the main event of the evening, the AEW Women's Championship match. Now, I'm really glad that they put the Women's Championship match on as the main event here. I think it shows where they want to go with this women's division. There's been talks of potentially a mid-card title, which would be nice to see. So you push the Women's Championship further up the card and you can have people in the mid-card of the women's division fighting for something. So I think that's good. And it's beautiful to see that we got DMD versus Ruby Soho as the main event. I think if I was structuring a show, I probably wouldn't have structured it in the order that we've had. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think Tony Khan's really good at structuring his shows on the whole. And I think this showed here, I think it was a really nice way to do things. Starting it off with the dream match, ending it with the world championship match, and everything fit nicely where it should in between. So here, what do we get? We get DMD, who's over as hell. We get Ruby Soho, who's also over as hell. We get the nice heel and face dynamic. Ruby's by herself. DMD's got Rebel and Jamie Hayter with her, which is, you know, the tactic of the heel there, accompanied by her, not necessarily a stooge and a heavy and Hayter. And it's a good match. It works really, really well. They have some nice bits. Again, the bit that didn't hit for me was the kicks of Ruby. I think she can land these a bit harder. I think she pulls back a little bit too much on them. They just don't look as aggressive as enough as I want them. But her grappling is superb. Don't get me wrong there. I think that's the only thing in this that I'd just like to see a little bit more oomph. And I don't mean be stiffer, just a bit more snug. A bit more snug on those kicks, Ruby. I know it's rich coming from me, but that's what I would have liked to see on those bits. But the build-up and the flow of the match was really, really good. Really, really well executed. The fans were really into it. It just shows that the fans aren't going to be dead by the time you get to the end when you give them everything you want. When you give them Danielson, when you give them Punk, when you give them Malakai, when you give them Sting, they've still got the energy when it comes to the end of the show if it's booked well and it's delivered well. And this was a continuation of that. It was delivered really, really well. And the finish here, which I'd kind of forgotten about, in all honesty, not the finish, but I kind of forgot that Jamie Hayter was going to be at ringside. I don't know why my brain had kind of forgotten about that when I was booking the finish of this, when I was thinking about it. Of course you use Jamie Hayter. That's what she's there for. She gets involved. There's the distraction on the other side of the ring with Rebel. Jamie Hayter does the old getting involved, pulling the head down of Ruby Soho, smashing her up so that she gets put into the lockjaw. Again, serves the purpose in the storyline that the heels and has brought extra help to win. Also helps cement Jamie Hayter as being a use as a, you know, as the heavy. And it also helps plant that seed for down the line when eventually she turns on DMD and we get that storyline as well. But it also means that Ruby's lost in incredible fashion and that she can continually chase for this title without thinking, well, she's been beaten already. Why do we want to see that? It still gives us that down the line, and that's what we'll get here. Like I said in the lead up to this, I kind of wanted Ruby to lose here. I wanted a really good match, and that's exactly what we got. Unlike the MJF match, which didn't deliver what I wanted necessarily, this delivered exactly what I needed it to deliver, and I was so happy that we got that. I really think that Britt Baker is fantastic in the ring. She's becoming more and more of that ring general and that leader of this division. She is the leader, but she's just developed so much over the past year and a half. Like, it really, really shows, and her execution on stuff is excellent. How you could tell there was a bit of a confusion in a spot towards the start of the match where they went to go and do an Irish sort of whip, but there was clearly supposed to be sort of a cut-off spot that didn't quite flow as well as it could, but you could just see no hesitation from either party here. It's credit to both of them. Either party, Britt Baker just drops and rolls out of the ring and covers off, and then they go into the rest of it and go into the rest of the spots like that was what was supposed to happen. So it was really nicely done and really nicely well controlled on both parties. No one then stumbled from there. We got some lovely spots. Britt ruthless with her offense here. Ruby taking some heavy bumps throughout this match. And like I say, that ending just sets multiple things up for the future. Where do we go? Are we going to get Jamie Hayter? When's she going to turn? We know that's coming. She's been used very effectively since being brought in. I know when she kind of first came in, people were a little bit unsure about who she was, but I think that you're seeing she's going to become a big player in this division. You've been watching her matches, very, very well executed in the ring. She's an absolute powerhouse. Probably shouldn't say that. Will Hobbs will be like, that's my nickname, but there you go. Absolute unit. She's really, really good. So she's going to be used effectively down the line. Where's Ruby going to go from here? She's got a legitimate cause for gripe to keep chasing for that title while DMD's probably pushing her off to the back of the queue somehow. Britt Baker's got so much potential ahead of her here. Again, this is what I love about AEW. They do it with everything. Everything that's on this card. You're then not always like, where exactly are we going to go? They have the plan and they give you multiple directions and plan multiple things that could happen at any time that keeps you interested, that keeps you engaged, keeps you coming back for more, or satisfying you, but giving you the finishes that you want to see or don't want to see or you didn't see coming, but they give you those finishes, but they branch off from there. And that's again what they did here. Beautiful stuff to watch. A great ending to a great show. Like, you look at this show as a whole from top to bottom and you couldn't complain. Like, it's a top Dynamite show. Some fantastic wrestling stuff on this. I mean, of course, I mean, that's a daft thing to say, isn't it, when you've got Kenny Omega versus Bryan Danielson on it. But throughout the card, top to bottom, really, really good execution on these matches. Beautiful storytelling. Crowd's white hot. I just want more. I want more and more of this. And what also excites me is that we're going to get more of that feeling of that energy that was in that stadium on Friday on Rampage. We're going to get it again. And we're going to get to see what happened there. Like I say, I know it's pre-recorded. It's not live. And I've tried to stay away from the spoilers. But we know we're going to get some exciting things on that card. We're getting to see CM Punk wrestle on TV against Powerhouse Hobbs. We've got John Moxley, Eddie Kingston in a lights out match versus Suzuki and Lance Archer. So we know we're going to get some wild spots in that. All of them are crazy. So let's see what we get there. I think it's going to be a really good show again from top to bottom. We've got the Super Click against Christian Cage, Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, which is going to be a banger. Seeing the Young Bucks and Adam Cole team up, it's going to be nice to see what they craft there in their matchup. So really looking forward to that show. Like I say, I just want more. In the words of Ryback, feed me more. More AEW, more fantastic wrestling. Also helps push the product on WWE. The better stuff that we get, the more we seem to get of it. Long may this last. Now I keep saying it, but what a time to be a wrestling fan. So let's just all enjoy this ride while we're on it. Let's keep living this historic moments and let's do it together. And I really hope that you've enjoyed the show. So there we have it, episode 3 in the books. 3 episodes in already, I can't believe it. I'd just like to thank everyone that's been so supportive so far. If you want to get involved in the discourse and the chat we've having about the show over on my Instagram, it's Deets316. So head over there and get involved and joining the community and the conversation that we're having. Hopefully you're enjoying the show. It's nice to see you guys are listening. I'm checking it out on the metrics, so it's nice to see that we're building a nice little audience, a little community here. And long may that last. So thank you very much for being involved. Thank you for enjoying the show, hopefully. And I'll see you again next time on German Suplex with me, Dieter Wegener.